This is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts.
The Royal Air Force has long played a key role in humanitarian and disaster relief operations, both in Britain and overseas. The reach, speed, and flexibility of aviation enable a rapid response to global crises and to situations closer to home. Over time, the RAF has worked alongside international organisations, national governments, aid agencies and charities to provide assistance to those in need. This podcast details just some of the relief work the RAF has carried out during its 90-year history, from early missions such as Operation Manna during the Second World War to more recent disasters like the Pakistan earthquake in 2005. It is difficult to pinpoint exactly when the first RAF relief operation was carried out. An early effort occurred in the winter of 1928 when transport aircraft airlifted nearly 600 British and Indian civilians from the besieged British legation in Kabul. Flying over the Afghan mountains in winter, this operation relieved hundreds of men, women and children from suffering and prevented many deaths. One of the first disaster relief efforts must be the response to the devastating earthquake in Quetta, Pakistan, on the 31st of May 1935. At around 3 o'clock in the morning, tremors registering 7.7 on the Richter scale shook Quetta and the surrounding countryside. The earthquake lasted just 3 minutes, but in that short time the entire area was devastated in one of the deadliest earthquakes ever to have occurred in Southeast Asia. The RAF area of the city was the worst hit, with all the barracks and most of the aircraft destroyed. Over 60 RAF personnel lost their lives. Nevertheless, the RAF assisted in the evacuation of both British and Indian survivors using Vickers Victoria troop carriers. In most cases, however, the damage had already been done, with the final death toll in the region of 40,000 to 60,000. It was during the Second World War that the first large-scale relief effort, Operation Manna, was undertaken by the RAF. It took place between the 29th of April and the 8th of May 1945, and involved the dropping of food supplies to the starving population of the Netherlands. The plight of the Dutch was well known. A damaged transport infrastructure, a particularly harsh winter, and the deliberate destruction of locks and dams by the German army in an attempt to flood the country, had all contributed to the Dutch famine. By April 1945, the situation had become so desperate that thousands faced death unless relief was delivered immediately. So, on the 29th of April 1945, a trial force of 239 Lancaster bombers set off for the Netherlands, loaded with 500 tons of rations. An agreement had been reached with the Germans to allow the bombers safe passage to drop zones in Rotterdam, The Hague and Leiden. However, it was with some trepidation that the Lancaster pilots descended to the dropping height of 500 feet. The Germans held true to their word and the rations were dropped to the grateful and enthusiastic crowds of Dutch people below. From that date until the 8th of May, Bomber Command continued to drop supplies almost daily, making over 3,100 flights in total. By the end of the 10-day operation, the RAF, along with the United States Army Air Force, had dropped more than 11,000 tons of food into Holland. Unfortunately, despite the best efforts of relief forces, more than 20,000 people starved to death before the war was over. Without Manna, however, this number would undoubtedly have been higher. Just 3 years later came the first major crisis of the Cold War era, the Berlin blockade. In June 1948, the Soviets halted all rail and road traffic from Western Germany into Berlin. Millions of Berliners were left without power or food, and the situation continued to deteriorate as relations between the Soviet and Western powers broke down. Breaking the blockade by use of a land convoy was ruled out as it risked precipitating a war with the Soviet Union. In the short term, and to buy some time, it was decided to begin an airlift to provide some relief to the stricken Berliners. Although the ground routes had been blocked, the air corridors had not, thus it looked possible to feed Berlin by air. In addition, it would force the Soviet Union either to take military action and shoot down unarmed aircraft, or to back down. The success of this theory hinged on the ability of the RAF and American Air Force to supply 2 million West Berliners with the necessaries to keep warm and fed. It was estimated that almost 2,000 tons of food a day was required, a daunting enough task on its own, even without taking into account the need for fuel. Post-war demobilisation had left forces in Europe somewhat depleted, but nevertheless the RAF calculated that they could supply 400 tons a day, and more once extra aircraft were drafted in. Initial runs were made by Dakotas, later supplemented by the larger Avro York transport aircraft. As the airlift progressed, further aircraft were drafted in, including short Sunderland flying boats and the brand new Handley Page Hastings. The blockade was finally lifted on the 11th of May 1949, by which time the RAF had delivered over 540,000 tonnes of food and fuel, totalling 175,000 trips and over 30 million air miles. Allied aircraft continued to keep the city well stocked, with the last British flight taking place on the 6th of November 1949. Of course, humanitarian relief is not just required in times of conflict. The RAF has played a vital role in bringing aid to the victims of disaster. In 1984, large parts of Africa had been affected by severe drought as rain failed to fall on the already dry and arid land. One of the worst hit areas was Ethiopia, where almost 8 million faced the threat of famine. This, coupled with political insurgencies affecting both the north and south of the country, left the majority of the population without adequate food and water. The only practical solution was to deliver aid by air, so in November 1984, it was decided that the RAF would be deployed to the famine-stricken country. The task fell to Headquarters No. 1 Group at Upavon, and to the Hercules squadrons of RAF Lynham. Within a matter of days, two Hercules and 75 personnel were sent to Addis Ababa to initiate Operation Bushel. The Hercules aircraft and crews were ideally suited to the task, having already experienced similar conditions during the elections in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, in 1980. Following a reconnaissance flight, it was decided to land aircraft on the desert airstrips at Mekele and Aksum and to transport supplies from here by road. This meant that a much larger load could be carried than if supplies had been dropped from the air, although airdrops were made as well. Initially deployed for a period of 3 months, the RAF remained in Ethiopia until the end of 1985, making Operation Bushel the longest sustained relief effort ever. A total of 2,152 missions were flown, carrying over 32,000 tons of provisions. Although 1 million Ethiopians were to perish in the famine, countless others were saved by the efforts of the RAF. In 2004, the RAF once again found itself operating halfway across the globe. On Boxing Day that year, the world watched in horror as a huge tsunami hit Southeast Asia. The devastation was widespread and more than 300,000 people lost their lives. In response, the RAF sent its largest aircraft, the C-17 Globemaster, to provide aid to those affected. Number 99 Squadron quickly flew out to begin operations. Based at Abu Dhabi, the Globemasters made regular trips to the tiny airstrip in Bandar Aceh, Sumatra. They delivered over £950,000 of freight to the disaster zone, providing vital aid to the stricken area. The C-17 came to the rescue once again in 2005 when a Russian submarine became trapped in fishing nets and sank 200 metres below the surface near the Kamchatka Peninsula. The Globemaster was the only aircraft big enough to carry a rescue submersible and crew in one flight. The rescue mission was a success as the submersible was able to cut through the nets, releasing the submarine. For their part in the rescue, the crew of the C-17 were awarded the Order of Friendship by President Putin in a ceremony at No. 10 Downing Street. In recent years, the RAF has been called into action closer to home to provide relief and rescue in the United Kingdom. For example, the January 2005 floods in Carlisle tested the capabilities of the RAF's search and rescue force, as Sea King helicopters winched to safety casualties caught by the rising water levels. Also that year, Sea Kings were used to rescue the crew of the stricken vessel Sonia Nancy, which was drifting without engine power or steering miles out in the Atlantic Ocean. However, it was on the 13th of March that one of the most hazardous rescues that year was carried out, when a family was swept into the sea at North Bay in Scarborough. RAF winchman Nick Petch was lowered through massive waves to retrieve the family members. Master Aircrew Petch received the Air Force Cross for his selfless actions, although sadly the rescued family later died of their injuries after the ordeal. The continuous hard work of the Search and Rescue Force saves hundreds of lives every year, not just with search and rescue helicopters, but also the mountain rescue teams. The UK search and rescue region covers more than 1.1 million square miles, with long-range cover provided by a dedicated Nimrod maritime patrol aircraft on permanent standby. Although primarily a military service, more than 97% of rescues each year involve civilian casualties. The search and rescue role has been central to the RAF's work since the 1940s and continues to form a major part of operations at home and abroad. 2005 also saw the RAF employed in another large-scale relief effort overseas. On the 8th of October, a major earthquake caused widespread devastation in Pakistan. The request for aid was answered by many countries, including Australia, the USA, Japan, Germany, and of course the UK. Three Chinook helicopters from RAF Odium and C-17 Globemasters from RAF Bryce Norton were sent out to Pakistan along with 90 personnel on Operation Maturin. Operating from the Pakistan Air Force base at Chaklala, the support helicopters carried aid forward to the affected areas. RAF engineers worked around the clock to keep two out of the three Chinooks operating daily, thus maintaining a high tempo of operations. The variety of aid ranged from bags of rice to blankets to corrugated iron sheets, each presenting the Chinook crews with a different challenge. The scale of the operation is demonstrated by the fact that in just one day, three RAF Chinooks carried out 325 aid missions and lifted nearly 1,700 tons of supplies. In 2006, the humanitarian effects of conflict once again required the services of the RAF, not to fight but to evacuate civilians from Lebanon. In July 2006, hostilities between Israel and Hezbollah escalated, resulting in a 33-day conflict. All British passport holders and those with dual nationality were evacuated from Lebanon. The Chinooks of 27 Squadron, based at RAF Odium, were drafted in, and working closely with the Royal Navy, they flew 149 personnel out of the region, landing them safely on HMS Illustrious. As well as rapid response relief efforts, the RAF has and continues to be involved in longer-term aid projects, both at home and abroad. In 1999, the Project Albert charity was formed and is currently based at RAF Lynham in Wiltshire. Their mission is to relieve poverty and sickness, to encourage the education of children and young people, and to assist the underprivileged people of Kenya by purely practical means. Work has included the construction of schools and kitchens, the installation of water facilities, the refurbishment of an orphanage, and the installation of a dental clinic. In 2005, money was raised for a project to build vital bridges and a network of schools in the region. The RAF remains committed to the project and fundraising continues. The RAF is responsible for providing aid to the community in the UK too, in the form of military aid to the civil authorities. At a local level, this can take the form of individual RAF stations providing personnel to assist with a specific local crisis. On a larger scale, a coordinated response from several units or stations can be arranged to tackle larger problems. As well as personnel, the RAF has specialist equipment and units that can prove invaluable in an emergency. Reconnaissance aircraft can provide aerial photos of disaster areas, and helicopters can move large numbers of people and equipment quickly. The Tactical Communications Wing underpins all operations to provide communication links to everyone involved. The reach and flexibility of the RAF has enabled them to assist globally in humanitarian and disaster relief operations. This podcast has highlighted the variety of situations to which the RAF can respond. The RAF continues to stand by, ready and capable of responding to emergencies no matter where in the world. The humanitarian operations of the RAF are represented by several exhibits on display at the museum's two sites. In the new National Cold War exhibition in Cosford, you can see the Douglas DC-3 Dakota, the Avro York and the Short Belfast. At Hendon, there is an exhibition devoted to the twin-blade Boeing CH-47 Chinook, as well as an Avro Lancaster.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.